just how vast the borrowing was. However, what I'm doing right now is taking one of the tunes that's in the hymnal and putting it in its original words, which were by the poet William Blake. And I would like to do a little history here. Joseph of Arimathea was a very rich follower of Jesus, and he is the one who purchased the hymn, gave his own personal tomb for Jesus to be buried in. And that was the famous tomb that we know on Easter, that where the stone was rolled away and all that. And Joseph of Arimathea was very wealthy, and he had evidently been a trader and been to England. And the story is that Jesus, before he became a minister, went along with him on these trips, so that this poem says, "And did those feet in ancient times walk upon England's," whatever. But it's Joseph of Arimathea is highly regarded in Glastonbury, England. It is said that after Jesus died, he was sent back to England, and he built the first Christian church in Glastonbury. So in any case, the tune is 337, if you want to look at it, but it has different words. I'm putting the original words on it, and Mac is going to tell you all about it.
I don't plan to tell you about it. I just plan to read the words, so you hear the words first. "And did those feet in ancient time walk upon England's mountains green? And was the Holy Lamb of God on England's pleasant pastures seen? And did the countenance divine shine forth upon our clouded hills? And was Jerusalem builded here among those dark satanic mills? Bring me my bow of burning gold, bring me my arrows of desire, bring me my spear, O clouds, unfold, bring me my chariot of fire. I will not cease from mental fight, nor shall my sword sleep in my hand, till we have built Jerusalem in England's green and pleasant land." "And did those feet in ancient time walk upon England's mountains green? And was the Holy Lamb of God on England's pleasant pastures seen? And did the countenance divine shine forth upon our clouded hills? And was Jerusalem built here among those dark satanic mills?" "Bring me my bow of burning gold, bring me my arrows of desire, bring me my spear, O clouds, unfold, bring me my chariot of fire. I will not cease from men to fight, nor shall my sword sleep in my hand, till we have built Jerusalem in England's green and pleasant land.
We thank you from the bottom of our hearts for your generosity. We'll use these gifts wisely and well. It's now time for our sermon by Helene Gersony.
Get out your hymnals. Number 14. The composer here is Thomas Benjamin, and he has contributed, I think, about 10 original tunes. The answer to the problem of copyright is to have UU composers supply their own works. And therefore, it's their own copyright. And so if you see the name Tom Benjamin, please assume at my request that this is a composition of quality. Number 21. This is the one that the kids all sing, and you will notice that the word Lord has been knocked out. It is now a source of all, instead of Lord of all. Evidently, Lord refers not only to the deity, but also to an aristocrat or a member of the nobility, and unfortunately, a male. The feminist movement found this word unbelievably distasteful. And you will find that there's a problem in the hymnal because some of the hymns that they printed are my brain has just left me. We're talking about the word Lord, yes? Okay. Some of the more modern works are not in the public domain and therefore could not be changed. And so the word Lord has snuck in a couple of places. So it's kind of a contradiction, but as I said, the commission had a problem and they just went at it the best they could. So... Anyhow, source of all, to thee we raise this our hymn of grateful praise. It's the way it goes, but that ain't the way it used to be. Okay. 21, 23. Bring many names. One of the problems is the G word, God. And this particular one is by a composer from Britain, England, Brian Wren. And he has three hymns in here. And They are all dealing with the same problem. One is called Bring Many Names. That's number 23. Then there's two others later on, Name Unnamed and God of Many Names. Really, that's a triple whammy, I guess. He really was seriously concerned about this particular word and its interpretation. Oh, this is dumbed down Beethoven. This is very popular, but I hate it. I once participated in a chorus of Beethoven's Ninth, and singing "Joyful, Joyful" just makes me not enjoy it. Actually, what these people, what the commission was trying to do was to include a whole lot of famous composers, and I will call your attention to the some of them, which may be successful or not. So, but this is the beginning of one, and that's Beethoven. And unfortunately, this tune is repeated twice more in our hymnal. They really like this tune. Okay. Forty-three. Oh, William Albright is a man of, he's no longer with us, who was a professor at the Michigan University in Ann Arbor. He had a wonderful sense of humor, but he also was a very good composer. And we will meet up with him later on. I just wanted you to be acquainted with his name. He was a guy that I quite admired. Here's the mate of the Lord is the lady, and the feminists were really upset with the word Lord, but they had no trouble with the word lady. So was very popular with the feminists, and they didn't seem to recognize that there was a bit of a contradiction involved. Okay, 51. 55, Dark of Winter. Commission was concerned about the connotation of darkness as bad or negative or not quite the way things ought to be. So Shelley Jackson Denham, who was a very, very talented composer and musician and singer, wrote this to praise darkness. And this was meant to combat the fact that many people associated darkness with less than wonderful stuff. Okay, and this is one that is sung frequently, and I like it very much, not only because of the meaning, but also because it's good music. Okay, 51 and 55. 60. Okay, this is Langston Hughes, one of my favorite poets. And a couple of years ago, Russell Stokes and I did a worship service about Langston Hughes, and I think that's the only time this hymn has ever been sung, which is too bad, but people make their choices and their rejections. I'm glad that he is included, although I wish that it had been something that would be more readily appreciated than this one has been. But the fact that it's in there is at least something that I am glad about. 73. If you look at the bottom, you will see that Mark Bellatini is the poet here, and he was the chair of the hymnal commission. He's the poet. And I don't mean it as a put down, but he has also, he's got in the 9 of his poems set to music in this hymnal. And it's not a put down because I think he was a very fine poet, is a very fine poet. He was the, at the time, the minister at Oakland, California, and I admire him enormously. I had an experience with him that was quite memorable. My Jewish mother-in-law died, and she was 86, and I figured, well, she had lived her life, and it was time. And I did not cry when she died. And a few months later, at a UU Musicians Network conference, which was held the first week in August, Reverend Bellatini did a Kaddish for Hiroshima. And I started to cry. I knew I was going to cry here too, but it was memorable. He really got to me. So, okay, let's go on. 73. 89. Oh, here is something by a famous composer, Ray Vaughan Williams. But he wrote a whole lot of stuff for the Church of England, and it was meant specifically to be sung, and we didn't have to change the words, and whatever he wrote, it was very successful. And we don't do this very often, not that I don't think we've done this one, but there are many in here that Ray Vaughan Williams. If you look at the bottom, you will see who the composers are, and he is one of the famous composers who's included in the book in several ways. But because he wrote these things especially for churches, I think that is a good reason for their success. 106. Oh, there's Vaughan Williams again. Yes. And, all right, the first word, the author is John Bunyan. I guess he wrote Pilgrim's Progress. And he is in the public domain, so they can mess around with his words. The way it was originally written was, "Who would true valor see? Let him come hither." Him is a no-no, I guess. In any case, they were free to change it because Bunyan was in the public domain. 108, next page. Oh, this is one of my favorites. I love this. At my husband's memorial, we sang this. However, there was a real to-do when at a UU Musicians Network conference when we were singing this. If you look on the second page, where it says, since love prevails in heaven and earth, the original words are, since Lord is love. Lord? And this was considered sexist, and therefore it is now, since love prevails, instead of love is Lord. Okay. Okay. 114. Oh. Yeah, this is Onward Christian Soldiers. the composer is Arthur Sullivan, who is part of Gilbert and Sullivan. And I have here a takeoff on this. There was a book of hymns that were made into a joke. Okay, let me see if I got it here. Where is it? Things never go the way you want them to, I guess. Here it is. Okay, here's the joke. Forward through the pages, never read a line. Honor all the scriptures, think them all just fine. Books of differing sizes, spread across our shelves. We will never study them. We think for ourselves. This book is full of them. It's wonderful. It's a wonderful book. I used one once and I caught hell for it. 119. Okay, 119. James Russell Lowell is in the public domain, so once to every soul and nation was once to every man and nation. Okay? I guess they just felt that when you could do it, you should do it. Okay, 119, 120. Oh, here's a triple whammy. Oh, no, it isn't. No, that's a different one. Turn back, for swear thy foolish ways. I beg your pardon? 120, next page. Turn back. Yes. Okay, I'm. Yep. Okay. Is that better? Yeah. Okay. It's supposed to be turn back, O man. Forswear thy foolish ways. That's what the poet wrote. Turn back, O man. Okay. There it is. 120. 144. Oh, I'm going to play this on the piano, and I think some of you might find it worthy of a chuckle. Thank you. Anybody know the words to that? You got it. Stand up for Jesus. Yes. So that's one of the tunes we stole. And when I first heard it, I started laughing because it has such connotations that don't really go with us. And so, in any case, yeah. All right, 144. 151. Oh, okay. I have a very good friend who recently ran the local children's theater. And some years ago, when this hymnal first came out, she asked my help. She was putting on a production of Pinocchio. And at the end of the play, they are in the belly of a whale. And she wanted a song to go with what their predicament. And so I offered her this particular hymn, "I Wish I Knew How It Would Be to Be Free," which for South Africans it meant one thing, but for somebody in the belly of a whale, it might be appropriate. So, okay. She used it, and it was okay. All right? 151. 175. Oh, okay. If you will look down at the words, Alicia Carpenter, this was a lady that I knew, and I mean a real lady. A real lady. And she, first of all, there's well, in any case, one time at a General Assembly, I was tending a table there for the Musicians Network. And she came to relieve me. And so I was giving her some advice because she hadn't done it before. And I said, Alicia, you really have to accost people. You don't wait for them to come by. And she said, Helene, I do not accost people. I said, well, you just buttonhole them, you know. I do not buttonhole people. I said, well, you will greet them. I will greet them. a wonderful woman. Wonderful woman. Okay. 175. 189. Oh, yes. This is a famous composer, Joseph Haydn. Unfortunately, this tune that he wrote was taken over by some bad people, and they called the new lyrics Deutschland über alles. And so many people refused to sing this tune because of its evil connotations. So if you'll turn the page, you'll see we have an alternate tune. And so they got around a serious problem by giving you a choice. I think that was clever. Although I'm not sure that the original had to be there, but it was Haydn after all, and Haydn was a pretty good composer, to put it mildly. Okay. 200. Oh, wait a minute, let's back up to 199. Precious Lord, Take My Hand. If you look down, you'll see that the composer is Thomas Dorsey, who was not the band leader. This is somebody entirely different. The word Lord is there for all to see. But that's because it's not in the public domain. If they had messed around with it, there would have been a lot of angry people. It is a hymn that many people who are mourning someone take comfort from. And so it really has a rightful place in our hymnal. I'm glad it's there. I haven't used it much, but at certain times it would really be appropriate. So, okay, 199. 200. Oh, Martin Luther. it's a good tune, and why not? In spite of the fact that Martin Luther was not one of our favorite people, he wrote a good song. Okay? Why not? Why not? Martin Luther. Okay. 202. Oh, here's Duke Ellington, a famous composer, they couldn't monkey around with anything. It was straight Duke Ellington, why not? Why not? I'm very fond of Duke Ellington's songs, and if this one seems appropriate, so be it. I don't think it's sung very often, but it's there for all to do if they want to. Okay? 203. Oh. Here's Vaughan Williams again, this is a very popular hymn. Excuse me. Okay, 214. What's the matter? Oh dear. Okay. All right. Well, you want me to keep going? Tell me when to stop. Okay. Tell me, I will stop whenever you say so. I got a few more. Yeah. Okay. The next section is Jewish selections. When I became a Unitarian, I belonged to the West Shore Church in Cleveland. It was considered the second largest Jewish congregation in the west side of Cleveland. So, because many mixed marriages found a happy home, including mine. There are lots of hymns here that are part of the Jewish tradition. 243. I should have timed this, I guess. Didn't. 243. This one I really liked very much, and I remember that one Christmas the kids did acted out each of the animals. Sally Barney was the RE director at the time. And it was memorable. The kids were wonderful, and it was a beautiful presentation. Okay. Okay. 243. Okay. 304. Oh, yes. Don Marquis, I really like very much. He is the author of two characters named Archie and Mehitable. Archie was a cockroach, and Mehitable was an alley cat. And on the stage and in the movies, it was quite popular at one time. This is a wonderful thing called Unrest, and there is a verse that was left out, and I would like to, there are several verses to this particular poem, and I'd like to read you one of the ones that was left out. From what flat wastes of cosmic slime, and stung by what quick fire, sunward the restless races climb, man risen out of mire. I guess they didn't want us to sing about cosmic slime on Sunday morning. I kind of like that verse. Okay. 309. Oh, this is Dumb Down Brahms. It's from the First Symphony. Bum ba da bum dum bum ba da dum bum bum. And it's also the theme song of the High School of Music and Art in New York City. So I guess we're in good company, but it's still Dumb Down Brahms. The idea of including famous composers was evidently an urgent need. 310. Oh, this one. This is William Albright, whom I referred to once before. And this is an example of aleatoric music, which means within certain limitations, you play anything that comes along. And sometimes the result is kind of chaotic. I remember one time at Westminster on April Fool, the title of the sermon had to do with ecology, and so I asked the person there who declined to do anything about April Fool if I could do this hymn, and he thought, well, the earth is home, that sounds like something good. But we had people all over the place with different instruments, I had some trouble finding a C sharp for my glockenspiel, but it didn't really matter because it got lost. But if you look at the chords, they look pretty challenging, don't you think? And there are people. Well, I treated it as a joke, and Bill Albright had a great sense of humor, and I think he was being funny here. But there are people who are finding things about this to be spiritual, so I say good luck to them. Okay, 310. 318. Oh, yes, this is Finlandia, and that's famous composer Sibelius. We did this a couple of weeks ago with Edda Zaslau, I believe, and it is frequently done. I guess the words resonate, and so and the tune is nice, so why not? Okay, 318, 321. Okay, here is, you see the music is by T.J. Anderson, who was a member of the commission. I'm sorry, 321. 321. And you will see at the end, there are some angry-looking chords. I would like to explain what's going on there. There are two separate chords that are quite nice, but when you put them together, they're not very nice. Okay, let me show you. Happens to be an excerpt from The Rite of Spring by Stravinsky. And the only thing I can say is, well, he was a member of the commission, and so he managed it. The tune itself is really kind of nice, but when you put it with the accompaniment, it is not. So, and then the closing chords put a cherry on it, I guess. Okay, 321. 332. Here is Bartok. Bartok was a real Unitarian, and his son was president of the Hungarian Universal Unitarian Society. And anybody here ever play Bartok on the piano? No fun. When he was in New York, during the war, he came to New York, and he composed a piece that I really, really like. It's called a Concerto for Orchestra, and this is a little smidgen. It's a little a smidgen from the. Okay, it's just a little thing taken from the Concerto for Orchestra, and it's kind of nice, but it hasn't been, people have not really latched onto it much, but that's another famous composer listed here. 336. Oh, this is Anna Akhmatova, a famous poet, and Mark Bellatini translated. She was in the Soviet Union, she was had a lot of trouble with the government, as did a lot of people, and Mark Bellatini translated this, and so it's something to be aware that it exists. Okay, 336, 337. Oh, that's the one that Mac sang. You'll notice Don Marquis wrote the words that are here, which are not bad, but I prefer the original. 337, 347. No, that's, I don't want 347. 371. Oh, 371 to 381. This is pick and choose. You can, all these words fit any of the tunes. So the most popular one, though, is the Old Hundred. Ba ba da 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 dum. Okay. So, but that's. Really kind of nice. It offers a variety that, and people like to be able to pick and choose. So, okay, that's 398. Okay, this is, I'm told that Grieg was a Unitarian. I mean a real Unitarian, and included him, and he wrote an awful lot of wonderful, wonderful music. This is not one of his wonderful things. And it has not caught on at all, but at least he's in here. And all right. Mr. Grieg, better luck. Okay. 4:13. Oh, yes, Go Now in Peace. Natalie Sleeve. We used to sing this for the children who are leaving the to go to their Sunday school classes. And what we sang was, may the spirit of love surround you everywhere. And the estate of Natalie Sleeve said, you don't do that. You got to sing it the way she wanted it. And so we stopped doing it. May the love of God, the problem of God is with us all the time, I guess. In any case, I've got one more to do later on. That will be the closing words. And closing hymn. Oh, yeah. Okay. This has not been done very often. I like it very much. But, of course, it has the G word in it, and therefore we have a problem. And too bad. Number 36.